Radio.
Subversive music for dangerous times. Please stand by.
I pledge defiance to the flag of the United Snakes of Captivity and to the republic for which it stands. I dip it in kerosene and stick it up the ass of you-know-who and light it!
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
I pledge defiance.
Just so long as I'm the dictator.
I pledge defiance. One nation under God or else. One nation under Wall Street.
Consumption is being standardized.
One nation of sedated tabloid robots who actually believe what they see on TV. One nation drowning in its own garbage.
Deplete the planet and move on to another.
Indivisible from the fall of Rome. With liberty and justice for all who can't afford it. I pledge defiance. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Old Glory, the Yankee swastika. Whenever I see you, I see red. Whenever I see you, I see red. The Yankee swastika. I pledge to fire. To the United Snakes of Captivity. Be a patriot, a good patriot. The one that cares about their country more than forcing people to worship a flag. And take the swastika, the Yankee swastika, and let it burn, 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 baby, burn. The Yankee swastika, I pledge defiance.
The government is a bunch of corrupt thieves, rapists, robbers.
I pledge defiance.
Don't you forget it. They scared of my rifle. Wait till I give you an atomic bomb. Yeah!
This government sickens me.
You got black brothers over there fighting yellow people for a white man.
People have to hate something, so they better hate the government. People hate and fear the government.
I pledge defiance.
We got a drug, we're gonna try that on you. We'll make you die, it'll get you just a little bit sick. Got a head cold, got a chest cold, and it's too late though. Going on forever, make a hey, hey, make a lay, hey, got a play, hey. For days, for days, for days, for days, for days, for days, for years. Well, they got the time now to stay on the job. Double up the dose, keep the water supply. Make you even sicker, you're slipping away. Get it on the press, we're getting all your friends. We can't get it up, but us on the rock and roll. No! The government will. The government will. The government. Slowing down the USSR. But meanwhile, we'll keep an eye on what it's doing to you. Got a head cold, got a chest cold, and a string cold. Going on forever, make a hey, hey, make a hey, hey, make a hey, hey, make a hey, hey. For days and 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 days and
Jackson, who had horses' bridles made of the skin of Indians and bragged about it in his campaigns, who claimed that he had never fought an Indian he didn't kill and never killed an Indian he didn't scalp, and that the scalps were available for inspection in his personal residence, and that got him elected president, and I think that speaks well to the public sensibility in the United States.
Now, are you ready for the big white lie? Once upon a crime, they have to ask why.
Really, what you have is the most pervasive system of Holocaust denial that has ever been invented by man, passing itself off as an educational system in this country. You have essentially the delivery of information in precisely the same fashion that one might have anticipated that the Nazi historians and Nazi educators would have taught the conquest of Belorussia and the Ukraine 50 to 100 years after a Nazi victory in the Second World War. The big difference between the Third Reich and the United States of America is that the Germans lost.
But you're going back from Wounded Knee to the Marias River, to the Washita River, to the Sapa Creek, to the Slim Buttes, to the Sand Creek, to the Horseshoe Bend, to the Tallahassee River. You're going back to the Mystic Massacre. You're going all the way back in an uninterrupted string of massacres and scalp bounties and dislocations and reductions of population, liquidations as they called them in Europe. All the way back to an outfit called the Wappingers. Well, they didn't call themselves the Wappingers. These silly Indians that sold Manhattan Island to the Dutch for a handful of beads and trinkets. Silly Indians. Manhattan Island. Okay, silly little Indians sold the island. No, they didn't. They rented the tip of the island to the Dutch for trading purposes, because there's a mutual benefit. Trade had things like bladed weapons, iron pots, glass beads, trade cloth, things Indians didn't have. These are trading people. They had things the Dutch didn't have but coveted, beaver pelts, for example. But in order to engage in this commerce on any regular basis, the Dutch, who were from somewhere else, needed to have some place to set up, so the Indians rented them some land. The Dutch being, oh, you always mispronounce our name, so let me return the compliment and say of a very European persuasion. Decided that since these are inferiors, they would simply pass off this rental agreement as a bill of sale. When the Indians objected, they solved the problem. The way they solved it was by rounding up the militia, sending them up the island to dispense with the Wappingers, which they did. Remarkable efficiency, so efficient that they didn't believe that they would believe when they came back down to New Amsterdam, as they called it. They didn't believe that the townspeople would believe they'd actually done it. Oh yeah, sure, now we'll have to deal with the Indians again next year. So in order to document their achievement, they took the heads from the recognizable males, the ones that were prominent, with whom people in New Amsterdam had dealt, or who at least they'd seen. They took their heads and they produced them in town, said, yeah, we've vanquished the Wappingers. Basically, we've annihilated them. Here's the proof. And there was a joyous upsurge of sentiment among the populace. They were so happy, they celebrated. And they celebrated by having themselves a sporting contest, a jolly little game of kickball, using the Indians' heads as the ball. And that little kickball contest happened at a location which is very nearly the foundation of the World Trade Center. Military economic interlock as a matter of state has been the nature of this project we now call the United States since before the United States ever existed. Doing this to other people is the absolute bedrock fundamental requirement of what it is that becomes the United States. That whole process of what was done to Indians in terms of liquidation of population and divestiture of land and resources was the absolutely essential ingredient of placing the United States in a position to where it could project itself outward in the world in the same fashion it had projected itself inward to consolidate itself as a continental block country, a mega state, as it were.
The flag. action. Social service cuts.
One inch in the car.
Three strikes law.
Like to use that authentic American language.
America number one.
It is the American way.
Unelected white male land-holding slave owners who also suggested their class be the only one allowed to vote.
It is the American way.
which was founded by slave owners who wanted to be free.
It is the American way.
America number one.
Bring them on.
The American way.
A group of slave owners who wanted to be free. So they killed a lot of white English people in order to continue owning their black African people so they could wipe out the rest of the red Indian people and move west and steal the rest of the land from the brown Mexican people, giving them a place to take off and drop their nuclear weapons on the yellow Japanese people. You know what the motto... You know what the motto of this country ought to be? You give us a color, we'll wipe it out.
Bring them on.
This is a warlike country. We come from that Northern European, basically the Northern European genes, the blue eyes, those blue eyes. Boy, everybody in the world learned real quick, didn't they? When those blue eyes sail out of the north, you better nail everything down, motherfucker. And it's a warlike country, come on. I mean, forget foreign policy. Even the domestic rhetoric is warlike. Everything about our domestic policy invokes the thought of war. We don't like something in this country, we declare war on it. The war on poverty, the war on drugs, the war on crime, the war on AIDS, the war on cancer. We got the only national anthem that mentions fucking rockets and bombs in the goddamn thing. You know what I mean?
Bring
America
on.
Number one. America, lock and load. America number one.
It's the ultimate rush.
Pumped up, motivated, ready to go.
America number one. America number one.
From my cold, dead hands.
America number one.
Bring them on.
Troubled by memory. I keep remembering that we went to war originally to fight terrorism to get Osama bin Laden. What happened to that? Who is it that keeps moving the goalposts? The best thing I read recently was a comic strip called Get Your War On. It's made entirely from tired old 90s office clip art. Hey, did you hear? We're declaring a war on terrorism, one guy says. Oh yeah, that reminds me of the war on drugs, the other guy says. Right, remember when we used to be able to get drugs? And that's kind of the thing, isn't it? I think as Americans, we hate failure. When we see something fail, we want to get back on the horse, but we don't want to make the same mistakes this time. And it's painful to watch someone, especially our government, which is supposed to be representing us, make the same dumb mistakes over and over. It's not a war on a country or a people or a person, even. It's a war on terrorism. Can we declare a war on a concept? Why don't we declare war on hatred or fear? Then, at the beginning, when the dust was still settling in Manhattan, I had some ambivalence. I wanted to ask, is anyone asking why this happened? People don't go through that much trouble unless they feel pretty righteous about feeling wronged. Is anyone asking why they hate us? I guess it was on the minds of many Americans, but it was hard to feel satisfied with our president's answer. They hate us because we love freedom. That was so loopy and full of contradictions, it was hard to debate. In terms of motivation for the terrorists, that's where they left us. That's all we got. And as for the motivations that framed our response, it seemed it was going to be the not-so-Christian motive of revenge. But then somehow the war on terrorism made this slippery shift to a war on Saddam Hussein. This is the place where I feel like I stepped out of the movie to go to the restroom. I want to whisper to the person sitting next to me, how'd that happen? What'd I miss? So what's the connection here? Osama's Middle Eastern, Saddam's Middle Eastern, they both have dark hair. I mean, they're not the same person, but there must be some connection here. I'm still a little boggled by anyone who made that shift. Supporting the president and our government in difficult times is one thing, but actually believing that a war to topple Saddam is just and necessary? What do you do to us? What did I miss? something occurred to me the other day, something shocking and hard to deny. We are not the good guys. We are not the good guys. We are not Luke Skywalker in the rebellion. No. We are Darth Vader gobbling up star systems, crushing anyone who gets in our way, making up the thinnest of rationalizations along the route. We're not only not who we say we are, we're not even who we think we are. Growing up, I always imagined my country was kind of like Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird, on the side of justice and right. But no, we're not like Atticus Finch standing up for the poor black sharecropper accused of something he didn't do. No, we're more like Bob Ewell, the angry bully seeking revenge who tried to kill Jem and Scout. And if we were going to restage World War II, the Great War, the Just War, we wouldn't even get to play one of the more noble parts. Britain or Belgium or France or even our own part. We wouldn't get to play that part again, no. We'd play the part of Germany, swallowing sovereign nations, ignoring international law, believing that might makes right. But you know, it's not them. There is no they. It's just us here. I am this country, and it represents me, and it acts in my name. And worse, we're not on the side of justice. We're not the good guys anymore, if we ever were. And if you find yourself standing not on the side of the good guys, and if you've ever asked yourself, what would I have done if I'd lived in Germany during the rise of the Nazi Party, when they still seemed like a refreshing, albeit iron-fisted, solution to the nation's economic and terrorist woes? It seems there's only one possible response for a civilized people. Resistance. Folsom and Fourth, and protesters have closed down this street as well, and protesters from up toward Market Street are coming and joining us here at this intersection. So there's a substantial force of people here, and each street blockage is totally impromptu. People move from one intersection to the other. The police arrest a handful of people who take the street. They secure one street, and then it sort of squeezes out and moves on to another intersection. Protesters are chanting USA out of the Middle East, no justice, no peace. No justice!